Good morning, good evening, everyone. We're just getting started here. I'm just inviting our co-host to join the party. Gnome and Brian, I've just invited you as co-host. Elijah as well. Oh, I can only have two co-hosts, so Elijah is a speaker, and Brian also as a speaker. Brian, if you didn't get my speaker invite, you could request to be a speaker. But yeah, well, we're getting Brian up here. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Very good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. This is going to be really cool, actually. I'm really glad I could get all of you on a space today to talk about the future of the Cosmos Hub. Now, just for context, you know, this space was sort of inspired by Elijah's Cosmos Hub forum post from, I guess, like 2 weeks ago now, something like that. A note on the future of the Cosmos Hub. This got me thinking that, you know, there are these sort of opposing forces or opposing ideologies in the space, and it's helpful to sort of get everybody talking about the issues that we have in the internet, and specifically, you know, I think around the Cosmos Hub, and hopefully, you know, set a path forward to progress and to move the hub forward. So we'll just wait for a couple more people to come in. Brian, you're still not a speaker somehow. Maybe try requesting to speak again, Brian. No, are you still in the sun, or are you back in Berlin?
I'm back. Yeah, back in Berlin. It seems like made the right choice because it was super bad weather in Berlin, and I came back, and now it's really good. So moving from one holiday to another.
Yeah, it's amazingly hot right now in sort of central Western Europe. Yeah. So I don't know if Spade will join us. He had mentioned that he'd join as well, but if he joins, I'll bring him up. So. Yeah, let's get started. I mean, there's a couple of things I want to talk about today, and maybe we can start with your post, Elijah. So you wrote this post on the Cosmos Hub forum. I pinned it up here in the tweet. Oh, there's Spade. So I pinned it up here, and the idea, I think, of this post, you emphasize that, you know, in the startup world, companies need to have focus, and a lot of companies fail because they don't have focus. You know, there's been lots of books about this, like The One Thing, Zero to One, I think, like are books that sort of touch on this topic of focus. And you know, you argued that the hub needs a clear vision and a clear objective, which is something I totally agree with. So I wonder if you could unpack this post and, you know, what inspired you to write it. What are some of the key points you're making here?
Yeah, sure. So I guess like what inspired me is through building in Cosmos, especially, you know, within the AZ, you know, around the hub, I kept finding that like I was having the same conversations with people over and over again. You know, it's like people like Spade and Effort Capital and, you know, some other people. And you know, it seemed like there was this common theme where it was like there's like this group of people who really wants to come up with this you know, next chapter for the hub, right? Like, you know, what, you know, how can we either, you know, push for existing visions for the hub, or, you know, recreate new ones? And, you know, before I even like insert my bias on like whether I think, you know, it makes sense to strengthen old ones or, you know, create new ones, you know, new visions or, you know, strengthen old visions. You know, I think it was just apparent that we were doing neither as a community. And I think there was like a lot of anxiety by people or of people where it was like, you know, if we are doing neither, then where exactly are we going? Because we're certainly not moving forward, right? We're sort of like staying stagnant. And everyone was throwing out ideas, and you know, everyone had a different opinion and everyone had a different belief. And I realized, like, you know, or like, you know, one of my thoughts was, me or whoever going and having 100 different conversations with 100 different people, like, is not like the way to solve it, right? Like, it probably takes, you know, a forum post, you know, at least a start where, you know, everyone can sort of have their input and start getting engaged and sharing their beliefs. And, you know, going through the process of like rough consensus in public, I think is like the important first step to actually like finding that. And so, yeah, I mean, none of the ideas were like particularly original. It was just, you know, sort of an aggregation of a lot of the conversations that I'd been having and a lot of the stuff I had been reading. And, you know, I'm relatively new as well. So I would say, like, you know, there's a balance between me having fresh eyes, but also me not having like so much context. And so, like, I've been picking up the context where helpful and figuring things out. So yeah, that's a little bit of the inspiration. And then the rest of the post is like fairly opinionated, and, you know, I know different people have different takes on like different interventions proposed. Like, I think, you know, the way I see it is, like, you know, I'm not so tribal or religious about any one intervention being the right intervention. You know, I think that just the conversation getting going is like the most important part. And obviously I do have my beliefs, but my beliefs are like always subject to change. And, you know, I'm happy to hear what other, you know, everyone else thinks. You know, if they have a good point, then, you know, I'll listen. I'm open-minded. And so, yeah, super excited that like we're actually talking about this now in public, and people like Brian and Noam have joined, and, you know, who I didn't get to speak to or connect with before writing that post. And, you know, it's been awesome too to just see the outreach and get connected with so many people that I wasn't connected with before. So yeah, really excited about this conversation.
Yeah. And I think there's one thing that's, you mentioned, that's kind of underrated here, is that, like, you haven't been in the space super long, but you've been in the space long enough to like not have all the context, but at least, but also have a pretty clear sort of vision on like where the key issues are. So I think, like, you know, from that perspective, like, it really shines through in this post. It's like, it's super clear, I think, like what you're like, how you describe the problem, right? Of like, you know, there is a lack of focus, and we don't necessarily have like a clear vision and a clear objective for the hub. And I think, you know, this is something that like lots of people have been talking about in the space for a while, but no one's actually like sort of come out and like written a post about, like, you know, this is an issue and we need to talk about it. And I think like that's a really important first step to getting to some outcome, right? Like, we need to start somewhere. Maybe I can like open it up to the panel now. You know, if any reactions on that and on the post, you know, happy to hear those. But also, I'd like to maybe open it up and ask, like, what is, in all of your opinion, you know, the state of the hub, and like, what are the biggest wins that we've accomplished in the last couple of years, and like, where also the biggest fails or the biggest losses that you know, we as a community should reflect on.
I'll take a quick stab at it, but I mean, I think as a community, and it's a useful defense mechanism, we've been very focused on like what, you know, is not fixed, is not finalized, is not perfect, needs work and such. But still, you know, over the last year or so, we've, like, the hub has, you know, launched a completely groundbreaking feature before most of its future competition, like Eigenlayer and such. And it works, basically. There's already two chains running on that. So I think there has been like major like achievements along the way. But you know, like, we've focused a lot on what doesn't go right, which is helpful because it helps sort of like identify the issues. What like, where I completely agree with Elijah is that sort of leads us to focus on the issues themselves rather than sometimes their cause. And I think, you know, the argument that, like, before we start like trying to tweak these things, we really need to just like understand as a community what exactly is the vision for what the hub wants to be uniquely positioned and best at, because, you know, depending on what we settle on, then what we should be doing next can be widely different, right? So like that's probably the conversation that I'm most excited about.
Yeah, I can jump in as well. So, I mean, I think if you sort of look back, so first maybe the losses, right? Like what did not go so well? I mean, I think one thing that originally the Cosmos Hub was seen as this crucial thing, you know, one thing was the interoperability with like other ecosystems. So basically roll around IBC, maybe routing IBC packets, maybe doing some sort of, you know, bridges to other ecosystems. And I think obviously that didn't really happen. I think because there just wasn't like a team fully focused on that, right? And we had briefly the Gravity bridge for Ethereum, and you know, that was like one thing in this bucket that didn't work. And then of course in the end you've had like projects like Axelar that were just fully focused on that, you know, executed better. And maybe this wasn't the role for the hub to play, I don't know, but I think that was one thing. And you know, obviously, for example, Gravity Dex was also something that, you know, didn't work out. In terms of what has worked, I mean, I think it's pretty clear, like, you know, what, did you pronounce it Spade or?
Yeah, actually, precisely.
Spade. Okay, great. Well, yeah, what Spade just mentioned, I think the whole ICS, that has, I mean, I think it, in my view, it's in a little bit of a sort of, it's in a good state, right? It's in a good state in the sense that, you know, there's really high quality projects that are interested in it and they want to deploy as interchain secured chains, and, you know, it's been done successfully. So I think there's really a lot there already that can be built on. And at the same time, I think what's lacking a little bit is a sort of long-term, more holistic vision of what that should look like. So, you know, we have, for example, at Course One, we've also written some posts around the economics of, you know, so like some issues are, okay, how do you price chains, right? If they now are secured by the Cosmos Hub, like how much does that cost and how is that determined? Like right now, you just have projects sort of propose whatever seems reasonable to them, and then, you know, people vote on it, but, you know, it doesn't seem like the best approach. And then I think, you know, you have challenges like, okay, is this scalable? If validators are kind of forced to validate this change, is that the right way? So I feel like there's a lot of work that should be done around interchain security to really make it something that can scale to some extent. I guess it's always going to be a question if it, you know, if it's going to scale like ultimately, or like if it could scale to like, you know, I know dozens of chains, 100 chains, or like who knows. But I think that is the thing where I feel like there's the best product market fit, and it's definitely something where I feel like investment should go in to really improve that, articulate the vision, work out the economics, a lot of processes around it, and where I can see a lot of upside for the hub.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, what's like when you ship such a large sort of like milestone, there's a temptation to sort of like go to the next big thing, right? But actually what probably produces the best ROI is that now that the hub has launched this new and unique product, it might not be as fashionable and as like interesting in, you know, development updates basically, but actually, you know, going down on the details and ironing out replicated security so that it makes, so that it works both on the sort of like alignment perspective, on the revenue, on the pricing, on all of these items, whereby we have something that currently works but is like a bit rough on the edges, let's say. You know, there's still some like training wheels mechanisms that are in place currently, like the soft opt-out. There are still concerns about like the like profitability of stuff, and we know that that's a question of time and adoption, but it's also a question of like standardizing, refining the mechanisms, as well as sort of like the social processes and the frameworks for how we think about these things and how, you know, we structure these deals, extra. And I think like there's a whole lot to be done both on the governance and on the technical side here. Another thing that I think we tend to forget as like a huge achievement is the fact that, you know, Cosmos Hub, like the entire Cosmos ecosystem, but Cosmos Hub, despite all of the sort of like imperfections with governance in general, has succeeded in making on-chain governance, right? And this is something that like now today the rollup ecosystems on Ethereum are starting to realize that, hey, we have this, you know, bridge contract that we need to figure out how to manage. And currently everything runs on like a trusted multisig that is owned by the company that developed the rollup or what have you. And I think a lot of them will eventually, you know, find them their ways to on-chain governance, essentially. And so this is something where, you know, security, governance, and potentially, you know, money are three things that I think are the unique value propositions and domains of expertise that the Cosmos Hub has, and that I think it should double down on so that it can become sort of like a thought leader as well as potentially a service provider or what have you, so that it can build businesses around this. Because I think those are three areas where it is uniquely positioned to be ahead of, you know, any competition, and where I believe there will be tremendous demand and need in the industry as a whole.
Yeah, just to like say something really quickly about outside looking in. If you look back at like the the other two things that were mentioned, which were like Gravity Dex and the Gravity Bridge or the bridge, you know, I think maybe it was in part to not having a focused team on it, like a single team on it. I think that's probably part of the reason. Maybe like another corollary reason that's related to that is what Spade said, which is when you ship a major milestone, there's this desire to like bounce off that success in a bunch of different directions and horizontally scale. When in reality, like there's, you know, a lot of, you know, it's, you can't have like a build it and they will come mentality in crypto. Because someone else will raise a venture round, you know, they'll build it and they'll hyper focus on that one thing, and they'll be much better because they'll develop like a significant amount of expertise, you know, tailoring the exact product that needs to be future proof for that thing. And I think like if you look at, you know, the examples that were provided earlier, part of it, you know, was not having a team on it. And, you know, a related reason was that when you don't have a team on it, when you don't have resources being focused and directed into it, right, you know, in the case of the Gravity Dex, there's a team like Osmosis that, you know, raises some money via a token or whatever, that's hyper-focused on that and is doubling down on that vision and is, you know, iterating on it for years and years afterwards. Or, you know, in the case of Axelar, right, you have a team that has money, has funding, that's focused on that, focused on that product, iterating it on it, exploring that design space. So I think, yeah, to Spade's point, I think the big mistake would be to think that the hub needs to do 100 things right now instead of like really, really nailing the things that it has going for it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Just to add to this a little bit further. I think, you know, you look at the history of the Cosmos Hub, you look at the history of Atom in particular, despite all the drama, despite not having a single team that's dedicated to, you know, building out a roadmap, beyond, you know, we've always known that the hub was going to do some type of shared security service provision. But despite all the, I guess, negatives that I think historically people on the outside looking in see, and even people within the Cosmos ecosystem see, the Atom has still like naturally become the shelling point. The Cosmos Hub has always been seen as the thing that other chains are compared to. Not because you needed the Atom for gas on other chains, it just naturally, you know, became that for the community as like this natural shelling point. And I think the community has kind of shown time and time again, despite all the drama, like it's a really passionate community. You know, we've had great teams like Elijah and Nick from Duality leave the Ethereum ecosystem to specifically build in the Atom Economic Zone to align with the Cosmos Hub. I think because they see the potential what the hub has and what the Atom as an asset is. And I think, you know, forward looking, now that we have this shared security service, like now the hub has to lean into this more. Like Spade said, like Brian and Elijah said, this service provision is unlike what rollups are to Ethereum. It's unlike what EigenLayer is. Like this is the first time, and I've said this on other calls too, this is the first time, to my knowledge, that there's like a bilateral agreement between chains that they're aligning with one another. The rollups align with Ethereum, but Ethereum doesn't align with rollups. It's a credibly neutral base layer. It's not aligning with anything. This is the first time, like with on-chain governance, with security, with potentially Atom as money and as like the reserve asset of the ecosystem, that both chains, you know, bilaterally, and all these chains surrounding the Atom, the Cosmos Hub, have like skin in the game to see each other succeed. And I think there's a lot of great things that can come out of that, like the Ethereum ecosystem and other ecosystems as well. There's not really a lot of sticky capital. it's mostly mercenary capital going from one liquidity mining program to the other, jumping to the newest narrative. And I think that's mostly because it's centered around individuals, which is great. It allows for like a free market and allows for a lot of iteration and innovation in Ethereum. But I think at the same time, I struggle to see Ethereum building out like a long-term sustainable economy without having some type of like mutually agreed upon like vision between individual chains and between individual communities. And I think like the Atom Economic Zone, leveraging on-chain governance, leading into it further, can create something really special and different than what other like shared security agreements or service providers already offer, and already what you see like in the Ethereum and rollup space.
Noam, do you want to jump in real quick?
Yeah, I think everything has pretty much been said. But the way I just want to frame it is just like, it's very similar to a company. The original white paper is just sort of it was making some assumptions on how things would play out with the Cosmos ecosystem, and it didn't, right? It's ordinarily when a company, comes up with an idea and then they try to build their product, and then they realize when they go to market they don't have product market fit, or it doesn't really work, and they have to pivot. And generally, the founding team is capable of doing that, right? Because they, or if it's a good company, the founding team is capable of doing it. But the problem is with the Cosmos subs, we never really had a founding team that sort of kept working on it. And so just to summarize, like some of the stuff that's been said right now, it's like I fully agree with all of this stuff, right? And it's great that now everyone is sort of like contributing in a very, very meaningful way. But then to get back to sort of like Elijah's post, which I thought was one of the most interesting parts here, is that we have a lot of really good ideas. What we don't really have in place yet is the mechanism to get there and to actually make sure that these things can get built and then done, and that we can agree to these things, but also the trust in the way that we're spending money and in the way that we're doing accountability and doing all these other things to make sure that the money is being spent well. Like one of the things that's still there, when you read through the forums and you read everyone's replies and go on Twitter, people are still. Some people are cautious and careful, and they're worried about how the community pool is being spent and all these things. So it's really just about solving sort of like some of these trust issues at first, and then of course also in parallel working on some of these great ideas, and some are being done already and then like initially secure, and I'm super happy to see how this is all moving along. So yeah, we got a lot of work ahead of us.
Yeah, these are all amazing insights. I think there's like three things that I'm hearing here. One is, a need for a cohesive vision, where, there is kind of like, we're never going to achieve, I think, like perfect consensus, but at least directionally a vision that most people in the space, at least like, stakeholders and large token holders can agree on. Capacity for execution, in the form of building out the software necessary to execute on that vision, adhering to like some sort of a roadmap, and then finally like some accountability, and specifically in terms of funding and how the Cosmos Hub and maybe other institutions, and we'll talk about the ICF, can fund this software development. Like I feel like those are the three things that we're kind of pointing to here, and would apply normally to any startup, right? That where there's like a founding team and like people who are responsible for for seeing that vision through. In the case of the hub and in the case of the Cosmos ecosystem generally, like I think one of the things that sets it apart is the fact that it is such a decentralized ecosystem compared to ecosystems like Ethereum, on this spectrum, and maybe like at the other end we have ecosystems like Polygon and Solana. How do we arrive? Like, do we need a little bit more? Do we need like some actors or institutions to take on a little bit more of a decisionary role in order to move forward in a more efficient way, or is the decentralization of the Cosmos ecosystem really the status quo that we want to maintain, and we just kind of try to figure out as we go, right? Like, do we want to go a little bit more centralized for more efficiency, or do we want to stay in the current status quo as a fairly decentralized ecosystem where you also have to sort of deal with the consequences of that?
I think there's like it's worth pointing out that I don't think like having a having focused institutions is like a complement, or you know, is it not a complement? Is a supplement for decentralization, right? Like I think like Ethereum sort of puts this on display really well, where it's like there is certainly an incredibly qualified, brilliant institution that decides, not necessarily even decides, discusses and explores different directions for the roadmap in public.
And sets the vision.
Yep, exactly. And so, you know, I think that, you know, to the point that, like, I think it's, you know, the goal should be to weaponize decentralization when decentralization is incredibly useful. And then where institutions are useful, you know, weaponize that as well. I don't mean like weaponize in like a violent way. I mean like, you know, mobilize in like the most efficient, you know, productive way. I think like, you know, small groups of people are probably really good at iterating on ideas very quickly. They're good at actually shipping things, right? Whereas like if, you know, there's like a 100, you know, 1,000, you know, Atom holders and each of them are contributing a line of code, like nothing's ever going to get shipped. Nothing's ever going to get done. No ideas are ever going to, you know, be valid. But what, you know, I think a decentralized community is really, really good for is it's really, really good for holding people accountable. I think it's really, really good for initial brainstorming. I think it's really, really good. I think it's really, really good in terms of like actually, you know, in terms of growing a mission, right? Like I think the idea, one of the, you know, Ethereum's biggest strengths is the fact that, you know, there's, you know, such social decentralization in terms of, you know, there's people who hold, use, you know, believe in, you know, Ethereum's mission all around the world in all different places. And so in a sense, you know, they have missionaries in every country and, you know, in every continent, et cetera, et cetera. So I think like, you know, we can unpack that and whatever. I don't know if like now is the Twitter space to do it. It probably needs like a whole blog post or a whole Twitter space to really unpack. But I think it's really about like leaning into the things that decentralization is really, really good at. And then finding ways to incorporate points of, you know, I don't even want to say institutional input, but, you know, because I think that has a bad connotation, but points of like really, you know, smaller teams dedicated to more specific visions into that framework such that, right, like when that's useful, that happens. And when the, you know, more decentralized things need to happen or things that benefit from decentralization need to happen, right, like then those things have the space to happen. So I'd love to see them used as complements instead of supplements.
100% agree. Just to, you know, summarize, I think you can find a middle ground. You can, the decentralized Cosmos Hub community and maybe even the wider Atom Economic Zone, like the community itself should be able to hold accountable smaller teams that have subject matter expertise in particular areas. The community at the end of the day should have power over the purse strings. At any point, they feel like that they're not being served. The, you know, the token holders of data token holders are not being served appropriately by specific teams that are focused on specific initiatives. They should be able to pull funding. They should be able to change the team if another team comes up. We should make sure that there's like voting count, you know, voting in place that maybe like yearly or biannual basis to make sure that we're holding them accountable. Make sure that these development teams have skin in the game to create a larger vision that ultimately the wider community feels comfortable with. I think it's not necessarily centralization versus decentralization. It's more just finding, I think decentralized accountability, you know, or holding a centralized team accountable in a decentralized way. But I mean, what Elijah said was really what I fully agree with as well.
I think what's interesting in what you see in crypto happen, and this is sort of how I see the future take place when it comes to these like trust minimized environments, is that the people who are actually ending up using the protocol are the ones that, you know, should have the stake in some sense. And the question is, how do we facilitate something like this? So if you look at something like, I don't know, Babylon, right? Babylon that wants to secure other networks with Bitcoin security and to do a bunch of other stuff. And in my opinion, you know, the people lending that security in some sense are the stakeholders. And so the question is then also for me is like, what is this community that's voting on what's happening? And yes, that's token holders, but who are the token holders? You know, right now, the stakeholders, the people using the network is relatively small. We have Neutron, we have Stride, and all the protocols are building on it. But in a thriving Atom Economic Zone, I expect that to be, you know, a large ecosystem of different players. And I think like that, I guess that's also part of what we're thinking about and how to facilitate that is, well, how do we make sure that those stakeholders will actually have a stake in the network? And it's not just, you know, everyone but also the people who actually, you know, depend on it, like Neutron, for example. You know, they depend on the Atom Hub. So how do we make sure that their voice is heard potentially through token swaps or whatever, but like, how do we do that? And I think that's a really interesting question, because it doesn't necessarily have to be tokens only. And I think that's where committees and multisigs and sub-DAOs become very interesting as well.
Yeah. Sorry, go on, Brian.
Brian, we'd love your take on this. Yeah,
sure. I mean, I feel this is one of the hardest problems in, you know, maybe in crypto in general. And, you know, when it comes to like decentralized coordination, where, you know, especially when it comes to aligning on a vision, articulating the vision, and then getting behind it, I feel like the Atom 2.0 paper and governance vote was a great example, you know, where you ended up having, you know, this very large number of authors with this, you know, big sort of set of diverse ideas, then putting into one paper, and then everybody votes on it, and then, you know, different people object to different things, and in the end it's sort of in this limbo and really hard to you know, it was hard to move on from that. I think what I'm pretty bullish on is for the Cosmos Hub and governance to you know, learn how to deploy funding effectively, you know, sort of given some vision. So now you're okay, we say we're going to fund A, B, and C, and they're going to report, and maybe some multisig and some tranches. And I mean, there's just a lot of things still to be figured out. But I think when it comes to articulating this, okay, the vision of where to go, this is a really, I think that's a very hard problem. And, you know, a little bit the challenge here is that, you know, sort of the original Cosmos vision, you know, I mean, in a way, it's amazing how far Cosmos has gone and how much has been accomplished, given the, you know, the falling apart of the original company and how everything was split across like so many different organizations. And I think that to a huge extent, that is because the Cosmos vision was very clear and it made a lot of sense. And I think for the Cosmos Hub, you know, we just didn't have, and I think still don't quite have, a vision that has the same degree of clarity and where there's alignment on it. And I think that is one of the most important things to create. And it's really hard to do, I think, where we are now. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, to your point, I think that like Atom 2.0, at least how I've read it, I think it was like, there's a lot of great ideas. But when I read it, like it sort of just felt like a lot of the great ideas, it felt like it maybe the vision was like doing something. Like there were so many different things that it didn't feel like there was like one point to it. Felt like there was like maybe a lot of different visions or a lot of different roles or objectives that the hub should be playing simultaneously. And I think, like, you know, to your point, you know, that I think was the reason why it was really, really hard to find consensus on it, is because like every individual could find like one thing or, you know, a few things that like they felt were getting like Trojan horsed into the proposal. And like with some of the things that were being proposed, like it also maybe feels like, you know, there should have been like a you know, very, very, you know, there should have been white papers for like each individual thing in there potentially. And there should have been like this like exploration process with that. And some of the ideas once again were phenomenal. Like I respect the hell out of everyone who wrote that paper, but I think like, I agree. I think like the way to do it this time is to do it iteratively, right? It's to like take pieces, you know, do this public discovery process with them, you know, really, really nail them down. And then like, add things incrementally instead of all at once. And I think we'll see like people get behind that mission if we can do that effectively.
Yeah, I think let's maybe not rehash Atom 2.0. That conversation has been had so many times and we've only got about 25 minutes left, and I've got so many more questions I'd like to ask here. And then hopefully also, because I think that it's also important as part of this conversation, is to bring in you know, the voice of the community and get out input from people in here. So if we have a couple of minutes at the end, I'd like to open it up for questions or comments. So, you know, Noam, you've been arguing for better governance and treasury management. You know, we've been talking. I don't know if you've made public this this thing you're writing, or if I don't even know if I can talk about it, but I know you're.
There's no secrets. Yeah, yeah.
There's no secret. All right, so.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So you're writing a post about Atom treasury management and governance. So, like, maybe you know, explain what you see as potential solutions here, at least for incentive alignment with consumer chains. I think it's a really important topic that we'll certainly, like, once this is published, we should also be talking about probably on other spaces.
Yeah. So yeah, this week. I wrote like basically when Elijah did this post. Let's take a step back. We got a grant right from the Atom Accelerator DAO for binary builders to do work for the Cosmos Hub. We have a few different things in scope. One of them is this idea of this thing we're calling the Atom Alignment Treasury, and it's really something to address like a few use cases that we're seeing, and that we're expecting also to blow up actually a lot more. So one of them is this Stride sort of like allocation of Atom for liquidity revision, right? So 450,000 Atom, if I remember correctly, was basically borrowed from the hub and put to use on Astroport to provide liquidity for, you know, Atom and staked Atom. This is a really great use case of like how to use your money on the hub, because like the money earns a return of interest, and you know it's still under our control. So that's like one of those use cases where it's like, oh, that's super interesting. But what's really hard is that how do we, you know, keep doing this? Are we going to have all these multi-sigs maintaining this? It's a bit sort of tricky to do that manually all the time. It's not trustless. It's also, yeah, there's a bunch of different limitations to it. And then similarly, we have like this problem of incentive alignment between, you know, for example, Neutron and Cosmos Hub or Stride or any of the other protocols that it might be launching. And maybe there's a desire to do a token swap. I would think there is. Let's Spade talked about that maybe. But there's no mechanism to really sort of like work on this. And so basically, when I saw Elijah's post, and I've been writing a lot already since then, and also in the interest of like having that process be very transparent, this week I'll be posting a relatively long document or just a forum post, sort of like highlighting how to tackle some of these issues and how to manage them. I think it's way too much to go into detail in this space. I don't think that's really necessary. But it's really just a question of like, hey, these are some of the objectives that I think would be valuable and that I think we can all agree on. You know, growth of the Atom Economic Zone, financial alignment, and these kinds of things. And here's a suggestion of how to do that with these mechanisms. And here are some decisions that need to be made if we are okay with that, and how to build it. And implementation-wise, I leave it out sort of still relatively high level and stuff. But yeah, that's going to go up this week. Right now, I'm still collecting a little bit of feedback from folks. Yeah, I don't know how much in detail you want to go into it. It's quite a lot into it. Yeah,
well, if you're going to put it out this week, then I guess we'll just wait for, because I think, yeah, you'll,
yeah,
it's nearly ready and people can just read it when it comes out.
I think maybe the more important conversation is just like, and I'm curious to hear from Spade, like, how do you see that, you know, like incentive alignment and sort of like building strong connections between the hub that are, you know, represented and maybe some sort of financial stake.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to comment on this because, you know, like, you know, as someone who's been spending the better part of a year and a half or something on this specific problem now, like, it feels to me like where we have failed, me personally and you know, members of our team and of our community is like really communicating well about our intentions, where we're coming from and how we were going to manifest these things, because like there's, you know, this kind of like running theme of like Neutron is not aligned or whatever. And if you look at the history of Neutron, actually, I really don't think that's true. Right. I'll discuss a few things. And actually, you know, Elijah and I collaborated like very recently on a post that sort of like shares some of the elements of how we think about, you know, alignment beyond some of the points that I'll touch upon. But, you know, like, how do we make Atom money on Neutron, actually? And so, you know, there's a bunch of things in there, including, you know, what do we do with the Prop 72 funds? And there's a few suggestions, which I find very appealing in like furthering alignment in the Atom economic zone, for example, by, you know, instead of like, you know, it's a grant, so technically that could be dumped to fund whatever. But I think something that's more appealing to further this alignment is to, you know, hey, can we use these funds to, you know, on the one hand, generate some long-term revenue that could be helped, like used to, you know, nurture the Neutron ecosystem, which is, you know, growth for the AZ, that's great, but also contribute to increasing the degree of security of the Cosmos Hub, which every consumer chain and replicated security and the Cosmos Hub benefits from. But also, if we do this and we do it a bit naively and we just stake everything with one validator, we're actually sort of hindering the progress of the hub as a chain, because we're sort of like concentrating stake, right? So perhaps there's a way for us to have, you know, minimal overhead with a at least decent validator set management policy. Well, there's a protocol that does this in the Atom economic zone, just happens to be Stride, you know? So perhaps we can take the Prop 72 funds, stake them with Stride, and then either hold that or deploy that on Neutron's ecosystem, so that basically this now one-time spend now is going to be, you know, perpetually generating some benefits for all three chains in the Atom economic zone today. So, you know, that's one of the ideas. The other one is, you know, that token swap idea that I know you've been doing a lot of work on. This is something that we've been talking about since literally last year, actually. And in fact, we've already sort of conducted a sort of token swap, except like the one difference between the token swap and Neutron's launch event was that instead of swapping directly with the hub itself, which at the time didn't really have the infrastructure to do so, we swapped with the hub's community instead. Right. So we, you know, Neutron itself through smart contracts basically offered a fairly large amount of its like supply to anyone who had Atom, basically. And so that already built a lot of alignment, right? So today, like if, you know, if Neutron was to, like if the hub was to die, for example, not only would that be a problem for Neutron from a perspective of security, but also like that's where most of the value in the Neutron ecosystem currently is built around, right? And so that's something that, you know, there's, that there's a very strong incentive to continue growing, basically, because like that is the, you know, that has always been Neutron's mission, basically. And so, you know, these ideas, they're there. We've been working and talking about them for a while, but I think we've sort of failed to sort of like put our good faith or something out there. And so, you know, I hope this, you know, sharing more broadly about these ideas that are being worked in sometimes in the background will help. And so I invite everybody to just read this this document. It's very similar, actually. I find it very complimentary to Elijah's post on the Cosmos Hub. And, you know, it's a part one, so there's a bit more coming. Another mechanism as well that often gets overlooked, and, you know, part of it is on me. I've been working on this doc about how to give the Cosmos Hub voting power on Neutron. And I have not finalized and posted it yet. So, you know, we're working on that still. Please bear with me. But basically, the idea is that, you know, like Neutron made a big airdrop as part of its launch. And the, you know, as part of the negotiations and the discussions during the proposal to launch Neutron itself, there, you know, a strong kind of like point of feedback was that people were keen on having the tokens, the unclaimed tokens, go to the Cosmos Hub in some capacity. And so, you know, that has been implemented. Their infrastructure to do so trustlessly initially didn't exist. And so, you know, we proactively went to see the Atom, like the AADAO folks to ask them, like, hey guys, we would like to like, you know, use your address, your multisig address as the like withdrawal address for the unclaimed token, so that even though, you know, we'd like to implement a better solution, so that the Cosmos Hub community can you know, have the certainty that, you know, whenever these tokens are clawed back, they are clawed back to something that is at least very, very closely aligned with the Cosmos Hub, right? Now, as I said, like there is a better solution than just relying on multisig that can be implemented for this. And in fact, we've been working on it for quite a while now, and we're hoping to ship something soon. But before we sort of like finalize this, we want to make sure that this is actually something that the Hub community wants, because there's, you know, multiple ways that these tokens could end up, right? They're basically owned by the hub, but like, how does the hub want to have them, right? One solution is to just send them to the community pool. That's fine. And that is kind of like a, you know, exposure, sort of like a bet on the directionality of Neutron. I think that's a great use case. But potentially there can be, you know, that can be true while also providing more like deeper alignment than just like financial incentives and the success of the project, right? And so what we've been working on is designing solutions that would allow the hub to not only own these tokens, but also use them to exercise, to have a say in the governance of the consumer chains, right? And that's something that I think, Noam, you were basically saying that the contrary can happen as well. And I think they're very complementary mechanisms to sort of like have some sort of reciprocity and fairness in within the atomic economic zone, which I think is absolutely fundamental for this to work and for us to have alignment. And so, you know, we're working on our side of the picture here by basically saying like, hey, what we can do with these tokens is we can, for example, implement a set of smart contracts that the hub would own via interchain accounts, and these contracts would hold the tokens. You know, like the hub would own the contract, so it would have ultimate decision making power over these tokens and what to do with them. It could move them anytime, but as long as it puts them in these contracts are designed specifically to allow the hub to be able to vote in Neutron governance, to have voting power and such. Now there are a few decisions, points where there needs to be a conversation to inform the design, right? So do we want the hub, do we as an Atom community prefer to be able to express our vote like we do on Cosmos governance, e.g., you know, everybody votes whatever they prefer, and then the aggregate is the decision that gets casted here, because it's kind of like a two-step decision process. Like the hub makes its own decision and then it votes into Neutron governance, and then there are more stakeholders so that another aggregate decision is made. There can be either this implementation, which I think is probably going to be the preferred one, e.g. the hub votes and then it uses all of the tokens to vote for this specific outcome that its vote selected. Or it could be something like, anyone who has Atom now, whether or not they have NTRN, has voting power that is proportional to their share of the total Atom voting power onto Neutron, right? That's another approach that could work as well. It probably would be a little bit more decentralized on like the casting of the voting power, but it also doesn't have this sort of like coherent voice of the Cosmos Hub, which is also very appealing as a value proposition. So those are sort of like the options that I wanted to describe in this paper. The point of, you know, saying all of this is like, there's a bunch of stuff being worked on by consumer chains on enabling the hub to have voting power, enabling the hub to have more exposure, enabling the hub, you know, to receive like Atom basically to be strengthened by the consumer chains and what it would take extra. So highly encourage everybody to just read that post if you're interested.
I think we'll have to do another space just on that because it sounds super interesting. Before we move it over to questions, I do want to hand it over to Brian, Brian, you just became president of the Interchain Foundation Council, so congratulations on that. Also want to let everybody know that Brian will be on the Interop this Thursday, so if you want to listen in to my conversation with Brian, just subscribe to the Interop. The Twitter account is here in the space, and you can also find it on YouTube. What do you think the role of the ICF needs to be moving forward, and you know, how can the ICF best support the ecosystem? You know, beyond providing funding, are there other roles that the ICF you think needs to move into? You know, like more in the form of like what we were talking about earlier. If we compare it to like other ecosystems where you know the foundation has a little bit more influence and oversight of the vision.
I mean, that's a great question. So obviously, like, I think right now the main job of the ICF, or the main thing the ICF does, is basically fund the Cosmos core development. You know, so that's the Comet BFT, Cosmos SDK, IBC, also interchain security and the kind of Cosmos hub work. And then a few other things, you know, like there's some funding for CosmWASM. And I think what the ICF is most best suited and best placed to do is to keep doing that and to do that really well. There are some other things that, you know, the ICF has also been doing. You know, one is to try to kind of coordinate between those different parties to align a bit on like roadmap and priorities. That's a pretty challenging thing to do because it's just, you know, these projects are so technical and the expertise is so specialized in certain people. And I think at the Interchain Foundation, we've historically kind of lacked just the team and the people who have that kind of experience to be able to do this well. But I think that is also that still is something that, you know, we are engaged in. And, you know, there's, for example, still this a job post open for like ecosystem lead. And, you know, we are like trying to hire also or hiring for some positions to help do this better. And then, you know, I think there are some other things. So, for example, we are planning to relaunch a grant program so that, you know, anyone coming into the Cosmos ecosystem, you know, can apply for some funding and kind of get it from the ICF. So that's something we plan to open again last year. At some point in the past, the ICF was doing this too. Now, when it comes to, now, of course, in some other ways, the ICF has very much been standing back. For example, ICF has never voted in governance on any Cosmos Hub thing. And the ICF also, you know, for example, if you looked at the Atom 2.0 white paper, okay, I think it included some authors, maybe that, you know, certainly some of them got funding from the ICF for their work. And you know, I think some were more closely associated, but, you know, it wasn't something that was driven by the ICF. And I don't think the ICF is really in the right position to try to, you know, drive the Cosmos Hub vision. But the ICF can certainly try to support to make it happen. And and I think just provide a lot of, you know, security, stability, long-term growth for, you know, all of these core software stacks that they're seeing, you know, a ton of adoption. But who knows? Maybe this can evolve a little bit in the future. But I would say it's not really the focus right now. I think right now at the ICF, the focus is one, you know, on extending the Foundation Council to include some others to join the board, which I think is very important. And then really on the funding program, you know, how can we make the best funding decisions, deploy that money effectively so that, you know, the right things get built and they get built well for like a good amount of money fast. So I think that's really where our focus is.
Very interesting. And do you think that there is a role for the ICF to play, maybe directly or indirectly, in terms of funding with regards to, you know, business development of in Cosmos? Yeah, I think one of the things that a lot of people that I talk to agree on is that other ecosystems have very strong, you know, biz dev arms that are closely tied to the foundation or the, you know, main source of funding. And I've often felt that this is something that Cosmos kind of lacks, right? And some of the teams in the ecosystem do this, right? They do it well. But you know, in Ethereum, like we've, you know, historically had, you know, organizations like Consensus, and we sort of like lack this, I think, to some extent in Cosmos. Yeah, what are your thoughts over there?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, in it, there are some other things that the, you know, the Interchain Foundation is doing. So for example, there is a marketing communications team, you know, that maintains website like, you know, cosmos.network, and that does some things there. And I think that is something to, you know, to expand on that, do that better. I think definitely with regards to having some kind of BD, I mean, you're absolutely right that this is not a capability. That's not a capability that the ICF has at this point. And including, I get a decent amount of, you know, requests of like, hey, we have this kind of BD thing. Can we talk to somebody at the ICF? And I'm like, well, not really, because that's not something that's there.
A lot of people ask me for that. A lot of people ask me like, hey, can I get an intro to the ICF because I got a cool project?
Yeah,
like, dude, that's not the right people to talk to.
Exactly. I mean, I think one thing that could make sense is more maybe to, and this is something we have been discussing a little bit, maybe there should be like, you know, one or two people or something that, you know, would be available to take these kind of calls and then maybe refer people to other entities in the Cosmos ecosystem.
Right, real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick, you know that you're paying us to do exactly this work, right? To build this program. This is what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think some things definitely, some teams definitely kind of fit the builders program. And I think some things we do send there. Yeah.
Spain, I think you wanted to just react.
Yeah.
And if we have a few more minutes, we'll leave it over to questions.
That was sort of like around this topic, actually. Like, I think, you know, BD, I'm not sure, as Noam said, like Binary is working on this. There's a bunch of teams like Strangelove has been doing a lot of sort of like product/BD for ABC itself. There's a number of teams that were great, like, you know, super lucky to have in this regard. But I think one thing where the ICF could like be super useful is evangelizing the Cosmos stack within other ecosystems, right? Because what we're seeing is that you have projects like Maker and others that are now, you know, realizing the value of the AppChain thesis. And it just so happens that this entire ecosystem has been focused on building the stack that you need to be able to, you know, actually build app chains and such, right? And so I think, you know, now more than ever is when that needs to be done, because otherwise we're going to like lose out on massive opportunities to basically, you know, bring that technology to the people who actually need it and would take it to build awesome applications. And I think like that's one of the places where we can definitely do better. It's great to see that folks like, you know, Sam, for example, has been replying to the Maker post in this regard and just like providing more context over the state of the stack in Cosmos. And I think just that, you know, like not necessarily being like looking for new opportunities and like trying to strike deals with people and stuff, but just making sure that, you know, people know what Cosmos is beyond just the brand and the nice logo and everything and what it allows you to do that is completely different from any other blockchain. And, you know, the value proposition to you as a project looking to build app specific infrastructure as compared to like forking another blockchain or such, which, you know, the experience has shown us that was not a particularly great idea in the long term. So I think that's probably one of the ways that there's probably like low hanging fruits in this regard where we can do better as an ecosystem. And I'm sure that the ICF can certainly have a place in this regard.
Yeah. We got to show the tech. I mean, like, I think if not the ICF, maybe like some other organizations, but I feel like shilling the tech to projects, because there's so much interest, I think, right now in Cosmos. And in some ways, like Brian mentioned, you know, like a little bit of like difficulty for people coming into the ecosystem who are like legitimately interested in building with Cosmos Tech to find the right partners and find the right people to be talking to. And like in a lot of ways, the ICF maybe isn't that ecosystem participant, but having someone at the ICF there who can kind of like give these projects a bird's eye view of the ecosystem. Like, okay, here are the people who are working on that. You want to talk to them about this. Like, here are the people who are working on that. Like, if you want questions about that, you should be talking to these people. I think that would be immensely valuable. And then like those ecosystem participants to whom the ICF redirects to, I think would be, you know, great evangelists to, you know, just shill the strength of the tech. That's a great idea.
Can I just say something maybe a little bit controversial? I don't mean to be too much of like a provocateur here, but like, I think I was the first person on Twitter, not the first person, but I was one of the first people to say like, wow, this is just like a, you know, validation for the app chain thesis. When MakerDAO made that, you know, announcement, but MakerDAO, has been announcing their intention to, explore app chains for like a really long time now. And I think it's like a massive failure on our part as a community that like as soon as they announced that intention, we did not send over representatives to be on top of the ball and actually make that happen. And I do think the ICF should be that foundation that spearheads those kinds of things. My understanding of the ICF is that like it was, you know, it has an incredibly large amount of funding compared to other funding bodies in the Cosmos. And that a lot of that funding has come from Cosmos Hub, Adam in particular. And I think if there's a commitment of the ICF to fund a number of public goods that are benefiting the entire ecosystem, it should also take on the role as the shepherd, as like, you know, what I believe to be the most reputable organization to try to bring in large teams like that, to actually use this technology, this public good funding, or, you know, these public good funded technologies or funded technologies to be public goods. I don't know. There's a word scramble here. That they're the ones, you know, responsible for creating and initiating. I don't think anyone else is better positioned. I don't think anyone else is as well resourced. I don't think anyone else has the domain expertise and level of professionalism that they have and actually being able to do that. And I think like seeing more of that in the future when, you know, so when there's the next maker, or if this is maker, you know, if this is it, whatever, that like, at least we know that like we're giving our best shot. And not to say anything about Brian or anyone, like, you know, obviously, you know, you're an incredibly intelligent person, like really enjoyed hearing you speak. And I don't mean this in like a malicious way whatsoever. I just think that like, yeah, it was a pretty massive failure of like the ecosystem as a whole. And, you know, it's not the fault of the ICF. Because, you know, this wasn't like a defined role of the ICF, but moving forward, I think like we should be 100% on top of the ball there. You know, it's the same way, like if you're a startup, right? Just from like being, you know, having operated in like a much smaller, you know, lower resource setting for a little bit, anytime there's even like the slightest smell of like a lead or something that was like, you know, potentially going to be big for us, like we tripled down on it in like such a big way. Because like you sort of have to do that when you haven't found product market fit and you haven't like established a moat, and so anyways, just sorry, don't mean just, to be like provocative, but yeah
just wanted to jump in really quick. I think Nyman, just what Elijah said, I think the community, the Interchain community as a whole, there's just confusion about who should fund what. So like the Mintscan proposal, it's not even a proposal yet, but it's on the forums right now. They're looking for what, 220,000 Atom or 300,000 Atom, got the exact amount. Over like a 10-year period. And I think the question comes back to, should the hub fund public goods? It probably should to a degree. But I think if you look at the amount of the community pool size of the hub, it's very small compared to the overall market cap. And you look at other treasuries or other community pools of other chains that we're, and ecosystems that we're competing with. And I think it comes down to like, we want to make sure that if the ICF is setting up a grants program, that's great. Let's just make sure that the mandate of that grants program under the ICF doesn't step on the toes of other grants programs, the Interchain. We want to make sure that teams aren't getting double funded. I think there just needs to be overall clarification on like where the ICF stands and funding certain initiatives, BD perspective. Like, should the hub be funding YouTube videos? Like, I don't know the answer to that. I don't want to say yes, no, or maybe so. I think there's just overall confusion about who, where builders and community members like should go to for funding for certain things.
Brian, do you want to respond to that real quick?
Yeah.
We'll go to questions.
Yeah, I mean, I guess first, so I appreciate you guys sharing your thoughts. I mean, I do agree that I think the kind of evangelizing of the Cosmos stack and evangelizing of Cosmos as, you know, the best platform to build your sovereign app chain on is something that, you know, maybe doing like a little bit, but not well. And I think that's definitely an area to invest in. So I'm in agreement with that. In terms of funding, you know, I mean, you know, I think the ICF has done like an okay job at managing its treasury given the market cycles, but it was still the case that, you know, we've had budget reductions from this year to last year, and we're going to reduce it again next year. So I would say a lot of the funding is really focused, like the vast majority of funding is really focused just on these like core parts of the tech stack. So, you know, Comet BFT, Cosmos SDK, IBC, and then the Cosmos Hub work. And so I think there is that, that's really where the ICF has been focusing on. And so I think it's great if, you know, the community pool takes on, you know, lots of other things like, you know, partnership, marketing, content. That has been happening to some extent as well.
Great, thanks.
We are working on like something that has been missing for a very long time, which was really surprising, is that we had never had a pitch deck for the Cosmos or the Interchain stack. There was never a pitch deck for IBC, right? There was never, there's nobody chasing DeFi Llama right now, for example, making sure that IBC is there being listed as one of the bridges, you know, for example, like all the bridges are listed there. So just to give people a sense that, that it's not that nothing is happening. It's like we do get funding to do some of this work, and we are chasing DeFi Llama right now to get this out there, and we are trying to create a hit list of projects to actively do outreach and you know, basically do sales for the Cosmos Act, something that we're doing with the Builders program, and hoping to do more next year. We're writing a growth roadmap also, where we're trying to tackle some of these biggest issues. But why aren't there market makers in this space? Why are VCs not showing up? Why is it so hard to get developers in this space, and how do we solve these issues? So these things are being done, and they're being researched, and they're being addressed. It's just that that's the kind of work that doesn't really, it doesn't really get shown publicly. It's not something that, you know, is paraded around. It's like, look at the great work that we've done on this front. And I think that's just one of those things where, you know, when you ship SDK version 0.5 or 0.50, then that's great news. You can say, oh, this has been shipped. But when you, you know, in the backgrounds have been supporting some team coming from Ethereum to Cosmos, and you've just been helping them on a daily basis with technical integration and whatnot, that's the kind of work that just sort of like is missed in the background, but it's being done, and more of course needs to be done, no doubt.
I just want to say the VCs are here, man. Like you got at least two funds in here that are like Cosmos focused. So let's open up the questions if you all have a couple more minutes. So we have Better Future, you're up. Hey, if anybody else has questions, just raise your hand, and we'll give you access.
This has been a terrific discussion, and definitely one of the reasons I love being in the Cosmos, the fact that we can all jump on and have a brainstorm like this. On the question of what is the role of the ICF, I've been thinking about this. The ICF has played such a kind of critical, important, meaningful role in getting the project to where it is today. And yet, at the same time, some of the challenge is that the ICF sits outside of hub governance. Also, of course, the ICF has a broader role than just supporting the hub. I mean, it's supporting the entire interchain and interchain public goods. So I think that's natural that it sits outside of hub governance for some of its functions. But I think we're at kind of at this awkward but also exciting moment where the project has, you know, to an extent been so successful that we've achieved community sovereignty, where we have a community kind of starting to be capable of, you know, leading, you know, decision making for the project with, you know, a proposal system and, you know, kind of democratic voting on proposals that really is maybe more efficient and more frictionless than any nation state based kind of voting system. Like, we're running votes weekly and large numbers of people participating, and no question about kind of the trust. Like, it's really quite remarkable, and maybe even that's a killer app or kind of a killer accomplishment of the Cosmos stack. But the fact that we have these tools to have kind of community participation and decision making, I think it leads to a natural shift to wanting to, you know, have the on-chain governance as the dominant or the driving system of governance for the project, which then gets into things like vision and, you know, accountability and so forth. And then the question of how does the ICF fit into that? I haven't really thought it through, but maybe if there was a way for the ICF, for part of its role, like the part of the role that contributes to the hub, to subject itself voluntarily to the on-chain governance, you know, system that's emerging. Like, again, I have no idea how that would work. Could the ICF have a sub-DAO that for the functions of the work that the ICF supports related to the hub would kind of run through the sub-DAO and be respectful of kind of the community governance system? So that's kind of one thought. Maybe a tangential thought would be, it seems to be the case that the governance of the project as it's evolving is kind of tending towards this sub-DAO model. There was I can't remember who mentioned it a week or two ago, but there's kind of this spectrum on the one hand of like projects that are 100% community-led, and you have, you know, chaos and no leadership and no teams and nothing gets done. Then on the other extreme, you have kind of very strong foundation-led projects like the Ethereum, you know, foundation. And as long as the foundation is a benevolent dictator, you know, you kind of have a very good experience. But if you get, you know, a Mussolini or a Hitler, kind of in the crypto context, like a bad dictator, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a nation state or a crypto project, like, think, you know, rugs and frauds and you know, poor coordinate, like it can just go very bad very quickly. So Ethereum was, I guess, lucky in that they had a kind of a benevolent foundation. And the ICF has also been a benevolent foundation. I think in the Cosmos, there's kind of this intermediate place where we're starting to flirt with this sub-DAO concept, where it's, you know, four or five or six different sub-DAOs that would be community elected. They're domain-specific teams. You know, one can do grants, one can do BD, one can lead interchain affairs, marketing, content. You have the benefit of competence within teams to do very kind of focused kind of work on behalf of the community. Being part of AADAO for the last year, I'm seeing a couple of challenges with this model, like things that we need to tweak to actually make it work. One, there's no coordination between the sub-DAOs. Like, they all report to the community pool. You have no CEO, no president, and, you know, you end up with four or five sub-teams wanting to contribute to the project. But if a team like AADAO, you know, we're doing the best work we can to kind of live up to our mandate and our promise to the community to find great projects that meet kind of the goals, you know, contributing to the ecosystem, adding value to Atom. But we announce, you know, one of our decisions, and we think we've done a great job in screening and interviews and structuring and assuring kind of accountability with milestones to you know, protect the hub community. And then we announce it and everyone's surprised, or, you know, people don't understand it, or they don't have the context, or they don't have the situational awareness. And we're doing our best on the transparency side to kind of, you know, get that information out about the you know, the choices. And but sometimes it lags by a week or two or a month until the transparency report comes out. And so this issue of like coordination between sub-DAOs and with the community, it becomes a real challenge. One thought we've been having recently.
Sorry, just if you just because I want to be mindful of, like, if there's other people that have questions. I mean, this is super interesting. But if you had like a conclusion to your thought, or maybe like a question to ask, because we do have like another person who wants.
Yeah. You bet. Thank you for helping me to frame it as a question. So as a question, you know, what can we do to make this sub-DAO model kind of work? Do we think it's a good intermediate point between foundation-led and kind of community us? And could the ICF kind of put it in this sub-DAO model if this is indeed kind of where we're tracking as a community?
Yeah, I can answer that briefly. I mean, so first of all, you know, when the ICF is a Swiss foundation, and it basically means that, you know, when Cosmos started, right, the ICF was set up, and the funds from the fundraiser went into the foundation, as well as, you know, around 10% of the Atoms. And then the ICF basically has this kind of mandate to deploy these funds, you know, grow the Cosmos ecosystem to, you know, kind of drive forward decentralized technologies. You know, we have sort of discussed this also at some point, like, oh, would it make sense to, you know, to kind of try to put some of the funds under control of some on-chain governance mechanism? I think that's like conceivable, maybe in the future at some point, if this is like working really well, right? If one can have confidence that the funds are going to be used well and effectively, I could imagine that. And I think there's big pros and cons to both, right? To the way that the ICF can do funding as a centralized organization versus like the Cosmos Hub with its on-chain governance mechanism. You know, it's both have advantages and disadvantages. I do expect that in the future, the kind of decentralized coordination is going to get more effective, and then maybe this would make sense. But I think at this point, I'm not sure if we're at that point, or maybe one could do it for some small experiment. But yeah, I think it's definitely a direction that You know, I'm personally like open to, and I know Bucky is as well. You know, we've definitely talked about this before. So yeah, I think that's conceivable.
Just
thank you. Yeah, it definitely isn't working perfectly yet. So I think you're right to crawl, walk, run, and you know, there's still a lot of work to do to figure this sub-DAO model out if it can be effective. So thank you.
Just very briefly, and I'll try to keep it to just a few sentences. But I think most of the challenges with actually doing this well enough have been identified. MakerDAO has, and Lido and others have created structures that are pretty good at executing stuff. And the main challenges that they faced is the lack of vision. E.g., you don't have a central coordinating body to actually set that vision. And so I think the challenge is really here, right? For anything for the hub to get better, basically, we first need to set the right vision. Once we have a vision that most stakeholders, e.g., you know, all of the stakers, the validators, the users, the consumer chains, what have you, that use the hub as a technology and as a network, have a rough consensus over a vision, and how to get to that vision is, you know, it's a challenge, admittedly. But once we have the vision, we can then build the infrastructure to allow execution upon that vision, basically. So, you know, let's not put the cart before the horses. We just need to figure out the vision first.
On the vision side, there's one thing I'd like to mention here, and also, you know, have this be a call out for, you know, for collaboration and support. So at Interop Ventures, we, you know, and I guess this has been very much kind of inspired again by Elijah's post and the conversations that came up after it. We've been thinking about organizing, and Noam, we talked about this as well, a sort of Cosmos town hall event during Cosmoverse. The idea here is to have essentially like a full day of conversations, workshops, you know, sort of working sessions where different members of the community can work on different aspects of, you know, what we've been talking about here, whether it's governance, funding, et cetera. And at the end of this event, this kind of like day long workshop, hopefully have some recommendations, some things that that we will all produce together that we can then present to the community, further discuss in forum posts, maybe iterate on again at a later event throughout the year, et cetera. But really try to start, get the ball rolling on like establishing what a vision would be. So we're in the early phases of planning this. We have a tentative date of October 5th. So this is a call out to anybody who's like interested in helping, well, one, just establish the agenda for this. And, you know, you guys here, all the speakers are more than welcome to participate there. And then also helping with planning. And we also need, you know, teams to help with sponsorship and stuff like that. So this is something we really want to try to, you know, help lead and you know, continue this conversation. I think that having the face-to-face time is a huge unlocker for a lot of these sorts of issues. I think, like, you know, having Twitter spaces and forum posts are great, but like getting people in a room and having the ability to discuss face-to-face, I think, is a huge plus. Yeah, reach out to me on Twitter or Telegram, and we'll get you guys in a group. Like to also invite Robert B to speak. You had a question or a comment?
Yeah, thanks, Seb. Hi, everyone. Congrats, Brian, on the new position. I do have a question. What I found with Elijah talking about Interchain, the Interchain Foundation stewarding the goals and objectives of like IBC, the Cosmos SDK, and so on to other ecosystems, very interesting and compelling. One thing that does very much concern me here is the distribution of the workload. Let's imagine here we do receive MakerDAO into the ecosystem, and the Interchain Foundation is the leading participant that is, you know, venturing down that path. How would they distribute that workload across many different validator firms that all have their own self-interest in mind? Would it look something like the application program for the Cosmos Hub validator set, delegating? How do we maintain an unbiased system to bring in new communities into the ecosystem? And this kind of, this question is directed at Brian.
Yeah, I mean, that's so first of all, the ICF does not really have the resources and bandwidth. I mean, there is binary builders, right, which Noah mentioned before, right? And they have this basically the builders program, which is funded by the ICF, and which is basically like a resource that's available for teams that are like, you know, looking to build on the Cosmos SDK and in the Cosmos, and you know, they help with like a lot of provide a lot of support to these kind of projects. So, you know, if for example, make you interested in something like that, they would probably go there. I mean, validators, when it comes to validators and staking, you know, I think each chain does their own thing. It's actually not really something the ICF has any role or involvement in. I mean, except of course, when it comes to you know, delegating the atoms held by the ICF, where, you know, there is this delegation program, right, that's been running, and that's actually staking with many, many different validators, and explicitly not the largest validators. Yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but I'm also not quite sure. Yeah.
Spade, do you mind if I hop in really quickly?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I know you addressed this to me. So one thing Cosmos has actually done really well is it's attracted. So actually, before I go into that, there's basically like three businesses in crypto, or, you know, not businesses, but protocols that have been successful as businesses, or DAOs. You know, three successful DAOs so far, or at least like, you know, in the era of DeFi. You know, those three DAOs are Lido, MakerDAO, and DYDX, pretty much. Uniswap, not really a DAO. I guess DYDX, not fully a DAO, but like their forum is certainly way more active, and they have a way more active community than Uniswap. So I'll cut them some slack. Plus, also, right, they're building Cosmos, so that's great. You know, I have the utmost respect for Noam. You know, I've been incredibly impressed with all my conversations with him, but like the binary builders program is not the right steward for someone like MakerDAO. I also think like the question of what happens after you bring in teams like MakerDAO, DYDX, Lido, like these are, you know, some of the most sophisticated, well-resourced teams in like the entire space. Like, you know, not just within Cosmos, not just within Ethereum, like within all of crypto. And they can figure it out, right? Like, for example, MakerDAO right now is thinking about using a Solana fork to build a custom app chain. Like, you know, if they're considering forking Solana and building a custom app chain, you know, using Solana, like they're certainly well-resourced enough to use the Cosmos SDK, which was literally built for that purpose. But we need like our best and brightest to actually be stewarding that. And to be honest, unless it's like people like Brian and Ethan and Sunny and the, you know, the best and brightest within the Cosmos ecosystem, Zaki, Jack, whoever else, unless they're the ones doing the outreach and having like some strategic coordinated effort to actually make it happen, I don't know if like we'll continue to nail those teams, or those teams will continue to be lost to, you know, the Optimism stack, or, you know, the Arbitrum stack, or, you know, whatever other, you know, roll up, you know, stack that's going to come around. And so, yeah, I mean, I understand like the ICF has its certain goals and angles. You know, no teams within Cosmos are like so well funded or well resourced that like they can be doing everything. You know, that's the fact of the matter. But like, we should certainly be putting the best, brightest, you know, best representatives, most involved people on like these types of things. I don't know if, you know, I'm not saying like either that maybe it shouldn't be entirely the ICF. Maybe it should be some combination of like leaders within the ecosystem. Maybe there's like some group chat or forum or whatever, where like, you know, some of the people who, you know, have that personal brand and that like, you know, gravitas get together and like, you know, identify these ideas. Maybe we hire an intern to like identify the ideas and just send it over to like, you know, these types of people. But like, yeah, it needs to come from the top. It needs to come from the best and the brightest, and it needs to come from the most reputable, and yeah, 100%.
So
the rest will solve itself. But these teams are you know, amazing.
Just one very, very quick thought on this. I think actually the ICF could do a good enough job by simply doing two things. The first one is that evangelization thing, right? Like making sure that people outside of Cosmos know about the stack and what exists and what can be used. And two, serving as just the, you know, like maintaining one list of who you, you know, introducing these teams to the right teams for all their needs. You know, like, okay, you want to work on IBC? Okay, talk to Strangelove. You want to work on X? Talk to this team, right? Like the ICF has these contacts. It just needs to put these teams in touch with the right, you know, people to go deeper in these things. And I don't think that necessarily requires the ICF to like build a massive new competency or something. I mean, you know, just a piece of feedback. But I hope that's useful.
Thanks.
Yeah, the point is like Rune or the MakerDAO is just not going to listen to like, you know, Elijah Joe Schmo, you know, who made a Cosmos Hub forum post one time, or, you know, like they're not going to like really care. They'll care if it's like, you know, the founders and stewards of the ecosystem since day one. And if like they're giving like a really raw and authentic perspective, you know, from having seen the ecosystem grow and what the tooling can do. So yeah, I agree with Spade. I don't think it's like about developing like a massive competency or anything. I think it's just about like representing the ecosystem in a big way.
I think a lot of these resources just need to be allocated also to, you know, knowing that this is happening, right? So that forum post should have had our attention much, much, much sooner. And that is just a question of like, do we have enough, like you were saying, like interns and whomever available to keep an eye on what's happening out there. And then, then of course we get the right people to drive those conversations and to, you know, close the deal, so to speak.
If you want an intern, I'm always free.
Okay, good to know. Thanks.
All right, guys. It's been a really fascinating hour and a half, I think we'll have to leave it there and get on with our respective days and evenings. I want to thank everybody for coming on. Noam, Eliza, Fade, Brian, Effort Capital. And also to those who added questions and contributions to this conversation. Hey, this is an important step, I think, to, you know, getting us to a place where, you know, we can sort of agree on a cohesive vision for the hub. And I'm really glad that we're able to have this conversation. Also, very grateful for Brian for coming on and, you know, listening to the community's feedback. I think that will that your participation in events like these and other sort of conversations is probably very valuable for the ICF in order to position itself with regards to, you know, the hub and other actors in the ecosystem. So thanks a lot, and yeah, really looking forward to our podcast on Thursday where we'll go into a little bit more detail here.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks so much for organizing this.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks everybody, and hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments, red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner. LA stacked and non-toxic, just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps, clowns, white knight and all these Maybellines, they call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle, beats, tearing apart your community, all these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity, got a planet in reach, coming standard to each, I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east, y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats, hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets, yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each, motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey, what could be worse, misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs, I'll be numbing up first, before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt, we raping under the earth, say and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.